Whiskey, written by Menthol Pixie and read by Eos Rose. It was a week before Halloween, and Sam was sulking. John gulped his fifth shot of whiskey and glowered down at his research, determinedly pretending to be oblivious to his youngest son's ill-tempered and obnoxious slamming of books onto wood as he set out his homework on the small coffee table, cursing himself for booking a single-room motel. If only Sam had a bedroom to play out his tantrum in instead of grating on John's nerves out in the open. Dean at 14 had never had this much attitude, John reminisced bitterly. He'd never had trouble with Dean. He just couldn't understand why Sam had to push every little issue and turn it into a battleground. So what if their leaving town meant the kid would miss some silly Halloween party? There would be others, right? John pushed away the niggling thought, reminding him that Sam rarely got invited to parties, with another shot of whiskey. His youngest didn't slot in immediately the way Dean did, took time to build up friendships, and was more focused on schoolwork than spending his free time socializing, but there wasn't much John could do about that. Sam just had to learn to accept that things were the way they were for a reason. This wasn't the first time he'd be uprooting the kid just as he began to fit in, and it wouldn't be the last. That was the life that went with hunting, and any other week maybe he'd sympathize some more. Perhaps he'd even go so far as to push their leaving back until after the party. But now... It was 9 days until the anniversary of Mary's death. There were some electrical storms a few towns over, and the need to hunt, to run, was pounding through his veins, almost rivaling his annual need to drink. John glared hard into his bottle of amber liquid, catching a flash of Mary's face surrounded by flames that had him gripping his cup hard enough that he almost felt the glass creak. Oh, John knew all right that he was particularly hard to get along with at this time of year. He knew the vicious need for revenge that burned inside him, coupled with alcohol, was a dangerous combination, left his mood stretched thin and ready to snap at the slightest provocation. Even Dean kept his mouth shut and the rest of himself scarce during this time. Why Sam couldn't just fall in line and make a damn effort to keep the peace was beyond John. He wasn't foolish enough to believe that he was alone in his grief, though he felt achingly so. Dean's silence and growing tendency to find himself a pool game or a girl or, John suspected, a few drinks of his own wasn't only for the sake of getting out of John's way. And Sam, when he wasn't acting like a whining brat, was particularly skilled in the time-honored teenage tradition of brooding around this date. It was selfish and unfair, John knew, but sometimes he found himself resenting Sam's involvement in the whole process. The kid mourned a woman who wasn't even a memory to him, just a photograph and a name. At 6 months old, he hadn't even had time to know Mary. Sam would never understand what losing her had actually been like. John suspected, when alcohol allowed the bitter thoughts to fester, that Sam's grief had more to do with the loss of his precious normal life, the one he could have had if Mary hadn't died, burning above his crib. John snorted furiously to himself. Here he sat, mourning the love of his life, while his youngest sulked a few feet away over the loss of a Halloween party. Kid needed to grow the hell up already. "Have you learnt that exorcism yet?" John asked, pouring another dash of whiskey into his glass, careful to keep his words crisp and unslurred. The last thing he needed was Sam insolently rolling his eyes and making snide comments about his coherency. He glanced up from his drink in time to see Sam irritably push his bangs out of his face, eyes fixed on the book in front of him. "I'll do it when I finish this," he said, blatantly disregarding what John knew the kid had recognized as an order. "Do it now," John said shortly, glaring. Sam let out an exhale through clenched teeth that raised the hairs on the back of John's neck. He downed his whiskey. I need to have this finished for tomorrow, Sam said stubbornly.
I told you to learn that exorcism tonight, John said through his own gritted teeth. If Sam thought he was going to win this one, he was in for a wake-up call.
Sam ignored the glare and the tone, letting his hair fall back over his eyes as if to block John out completely. John felt the whiskey swirl hot in his stomach as his temper rose.
You need a haircut.
Sam shrugged dismissively. John lost it. He wasn't even sure what his plan was until after he'd grabbed hold of Sam's arm, yanking him up from where he knelt in front of the coffee table. He was vaguely aware of Sam's books scattered on the floor, his own whiskey glass broken on the table as he dragged Sam towards the bathroom.
What the hell? Sam burst out indignantly. Dad, stop! Let me go!
Sam shoved at him, twisting and digging his heels into the floorboards, even resorting to defensive moves John had taught him. But John had taught him, and he knew how to block them, even though his head was spinning with cheap booze. Anyway, John was twice Sam's size, and it only took one hand to shove Sam into the small bathroom and up against the sink, ignoring his son's protests. He saw Sam's face in the mirror as his free hand found the electric razor, his other hand reaching up to fist in Sam's too long hair while he used his bulk to keep Sam pinned against the sink. He saw the exact moment that Sam realized what was about to happen, his expression switching from pissed off to horrified.
No, Dad, don't, please!
His arms came up, fingers frantically scrabbling at the hand John had tangled in his hair. John felt a flare of satisfaction at the total loss of angry defiance in Sam's voice. He pulled Sam's head up sharply, making sure he could see it in the mirror. Let the kid watch as he lost his hair as punishment. That would take him down a few notches. He wouldn't be so quick with the back chat and disregarding of John's authority then.
I'll learn the exorcism, Sam protested desperately. Dad, don't!
John flicked the razor on, its buzzing fueling his determination. The kid needed to be reminded who was in charge, needed to learn how to follow orders without question and outright disobedience. The kid, elbowed him in the stomach. When he looked back, John thought it might have been more accidental than deliberate, an attempt to shove away from the sink rather than an actual attack. But in the bathroom, the whiskey running like liquid rage through his brain, it was the last fucking straw. John saw red, and before he had a chance to think or calm himself, he'd backed up enough to spin Sam around to face him and landed a blow to the side of his youngest son's head. Maybe it wouldn't have been so bad if he'd been sober. Who was he kidding? If he'd been sober, he never would have been in the bathroom to begin with. But he didn't pull his punch as much as he should have, the alcohol making him sloppy, and the bathroom was small enough that the force of it sent Sam spinning into the wall. John watched in horror as Sam crumpled to the tiled floor, stunned, and it was a long moment before he could bring himself to act.
Ah, hell,
he mumbled, feeling the whiskey anger drain out of him in an instant. He moved to crouch in front of the fallen boy, hoping the damage wasn't as bad as he feared. But Sam's eyes widened impossibly, and he threw his arms up over his head, pressing back against the sink, obviously expecting another punch, or maybe the razor John realized he was still holding, buzzing in his hand.
No, Dad, I'm sorry, please don't.
And because John understood he'd just lost the right to even the smallest of mercies, that was when Dean spoke up from behind him.
What the hell is going on?
If John hadn't already figured out that he'd let himself get too drunk, he definitely knew it now. There was no other way Dean would have managed to enter the motel room and sneak up on him undetected. Constant vigilance, keep his family safe. Well, he had certainly made a mess of that. Not only had he let his guard down, Dean could have been anything, after all. He'd...
God, Sammy, I'm sorry, he forced out. He couldn't bring himself to turn around and see the look on Dean's face. The look on Sam's was already too much. He thumbed the razor off with suddenly shaking hands. Get away from him. Dean's tone left no room for argument, and the fight had left John the second his fist collided with Sam's head. Numbly, he stepped aside, bracing himself against the shower stall. Dean slid past, eyeing him warily, and dropped to one knee in front of Sam. Hey, kiddo, you okay? Dean tilted Sam's head up, gently prying Sam's hand away from his face. John caught a glimpse of the angry red mark, destined to turn into a spectacular black eye, before he had to look away. Sam's wide eyes stuttered from Dean to John and back again before he nodded slowly and let Dean pull him to his feet. Go get your bag, Dean said quietly. Pack some clothes, okay? Sam hesitated, looking to John again as if expecting an argument, but John had been struck speechless, the walls spinning a little. He pressed harder against the shower stall as Sam slipped past him. Dean. John found his tongue loosening as his oldest stalked past him, too. Don't. He wanted to say, don't leave, I can't lose you both as well. Not this week, not ever. But maybe he'd just lost the right to say that. He followed Dean out of the bathroom. I didn't mean to. He started instead, trying to explain, but Dean held up a hand to stop him. Over Dean's shoulder, he could see Sam shoving clothes into his duffel. I know, Dad. Dean ran a wary hand through his hair, and even through the murky whiskey still sloshing against his eyeballs, John could see how tired his oldest looked, how much older he seemed than 18 years. We'll come back, just... You can't do this. I know that it's hard, but... Christ, Dad, you could have really hurt him. The whiskey was turning sour in his stomach, replaying the image of Sammy hitting the wall and falling to the floor. Every year, Dad, Dean continued, the words coming out in a rush like he'd been holding them back for a long time. Every year, it's... God, it's putting you to bed when you're too drunk to walk, cleaning up your puke, screaming matches over nothing, or you rushing into hunts like you don't care if you... Dean swallowed. It's got to stop, Dad. John stood defeated in the bathroom doorway. Dean? Sam's hesitant voice had Dean turning away. He joined Sam at the foot of his bed, taking the kid's duffel from him and slinging his own bag over his shoulder. We'll be back, Dean said flatly, not quite meeting John's eye. Next week. John wanted to ask where they would go, if Dean was all right for cash, or tell him to remember to lay down salt, but old familiar words were forcing themselves out of his clogged throat. Watch out for Sammy. He saw Dean's back stiffen as he placed a hand on Sam's shoulder to steer him out of the motel room. I always do, Dean said tightly, and then both boys were gone, and John was alone with his grief and his whiskey and his regrets. The alternate ending.
Note: the alternate ending picks up right after John hits Sam. It explores what might have happened if Dean didn't show up and John didn't back down. Part 1.
It wasn't the hardest punch he'd ever thrown, thank God, the alcohol making him sloppy, but he felt it connect before he knew what he was doing, and the force was enough to send Sam spinning into the bathroom wall. He hit it with a thud and crumpled to the tiled floor. There was a moment, a second's pause, where regret stilled his movements. Hurting his boy was not his intention, but he couldn't back down now. This was important. A soldier who couldn't follow orders was a dead soldier soon enough, and Sam needed to learn before he found himself on the wrong end of a bad hunt. Sam blinked dazedly on the floor, one hand hovering over his face as he stared wide-eyed up at John, stunned motionless. John steadied himself. Another lesson: never let your guard down. Grabbing hold of Sam's t-shirt, it was barely any effort to yank him forward. Sam yelped in surprise as he was sent sprawling onto his stomach.
"Dad!"
he gasped, trying to push himself up, but John threw a leg over him, straddling him and planting himself on Sam's back. Sam tried to roll, scrabbling to try to put distance between himself and the buzzing of the razor, but John refused to be moved.
"Dad, I'm sorry,"
Sam burst out desperately, covering his head with his hands, trying to block John's access to his hair.
"Please, don't.
John set his jaw, steeling himself against Sam's pleading, and used his free hand to capture Sam's wrists to pin them to the floor in front of him.
"You brought this on yourself."
Sam screamed and bucked, but his weight was no match, and John lowered the razor and sheared off a long strip of dark hair by Sam's temple.
"Dad,"
Sam screamed, trying to twist his head away.
"Stop."
John shaved another jagged strip next to the first one, shaking the loose hair to the floor by his son's face. He watched Sam's face crumple at the loss,
as if the boy knew anything about loss.
The fresh burst of anger spurred him on, accidentally pressing too hard and grazing Sam's scalp on the next strip. Sam cried out and bucked again. John growled and pressed the heel of his hand hard against his son's head.
"Stay still," he barked.
Sam let out a sob, but obediently stilled, cheek pressed against the tile. John pressed the razor to the base of Sam's neck, scraping upwards from the side he could reach, curving it around Sam's ear. Clumps of hair fell away, pooling around Sam's head, and the boy squeezed his eyes shut, sobs shaking his shoulders. The razor buzzed. John risked taking his hand from Sam's wrists to tug on the remaining hair at the back of Sam's neck, pulling his head up. Sam seemed to have given up fighting and simply moved to hide his face in his arms. John ran the razor in short strips over Sam's forehead until there was no scrap of fringe left for him to insolently hide behind, just tiny filings of stubble. Then he branched out and swept the razor over and over the dome of Sam's head. It snagged in the thick hair and tugged, and Sam jolted with each one, hiccuping sobs accompanying the razor's hum. John continued until all the hair in easy reach was spread out over the bathroom tiles, tumbling over Sam's bare arms, dark brown curls falling softly down the back of Sam's t-shirt as the boy wept.
"I hate you, I hate you,"
he cried, distraught, and John clenched his teeth and forcefully turned his son's head against the tile, quickly taking care of the remaining patch of hair. Within minutes, it was over. No single strand of hair longer than a few millimeters still on Sam's head, inches of it severed and lying limp and dark against the white tiles. John flicked the razor off and threw it aside. He pushed himself to his feet and determinedly refused to feel any pity for his boy on the floor, surrounded by clumps of hair, even as Sam reached up a shaking hand to run over his shorn head, feeling the absolute lack of hair, and began to sob harder. Even when the light fell on Sam's face in a way that accentuated his rapidly swelling and darkening eye, John couldn't bring himself to feel remorse. When it came down to it, if this was what it took to teach his boy to fall in line, if this was what he needed to do to keep his boy alive, so be it. He'd do it 100 times over. He was not losing anyone else.
"Next time I tell you to do something, you do it. Have I made myself clear?"
he demanded, keeping his tone cold, standing tall and imposing in the bathroom doorway. It took a few hitching breaths before Sam managed to gasp out a,
"Yes, sir,"
between sobs, arms hugging himself tightly. John cleared his throat, suddenly tight, as he surveyed his son, a crumpled figure on the bathroom floor, carpeted with his lost locks.
"Clean this mess up," he ordered finally.
He didn't wait for Sam's reply before turning away and heading back to the kitchen. He needed another drink. Part 2. Dean felt his good mood vanish as soon as he opened the door and saw his father, planted at the kitchen table with the whiskey bottle visible over his shoulder, the muscles in his back tense. Dean knew he didn't fully understand his father's grief and that his own sense of loss didn't come close. He tried to help, to make things easier at this time of year, but these late-night solitary drinking sessions seemed to start earlier and last longer every year. It was getting out of hand, and he couldn't think of a damn thing to stop it.
"Hey, Dad," he said quietly to announce his presence before John got spooked.
Once, last year, he took Dad by surprise when he walked in and found himself against the wall with a knife at his throat. He stepped over the salt line and locked the door behind him. He never knew what to expect at this time of night, at this time of year. John might want him to sit down and cry over photos with him, or maybe he'd want to tell stories about Mary, or maybe he'd be furiously and drunkenly poring over old books, reading things he'd read 1,000 times before in a desperate attempt to finish the one hunt he couldn't solve. John didn't react at all, though, just sat with his back turned, hand firmly around his glass. When John stepped forward, he tossed the whiskey back and set the glass down on the table far harder than was necessary. Dean saw the shattered glass then, spread across the table, glimmering faintly in the meager light of the single naked bulb that hung from the kitchen ceiling.
"Dad," he said in alarm, but a few quick steps forward showed that there was no injury.
He could see John's face now, expression hard and tight. His eyes didn't leave the whiskey bottle. Dean's sigh hitched halfway through as he turned and his eyes landed on Sam's school books. Two were on the floor, one open and upside down, pages crumpled beneath it, and another hung off the coffee table while a broken pen leaked ink onto the paper. Sam wouldn't leave his books like that. He damn near worshipped the things. Dean spun around, back to the statue of grief that was his father.
"Where's Sam?"
John's jaw clenched. He moved to pour himself another drink.
"Bathroom," he grunted.
Something was very wrong. Dean felt it in every step he took down the small hallway to the bathroom door.
"Sammy?"
he called anxiously, pressing himself against the door as he, just, suppressed the urge to barge in.
"Kid, you okay?"
Sam didn't answer, and Dean jammed his ear against the wood. With the sound of crying barely audible, any thought of restraint vanished, and he fumbled to shove the door open. He didn't know what he was expecting. He just knew something was wrong, Sammy radar. But this... it wasn't this. Sam sat on the floor with his back pressed against the shower stall, knees brought up to his chest, elbows on his knees, and forearms crossed over his head in his small Sammy ball. He didn't look up when Dean burst through the door, sobbing into his jeans and his hair.
"Jesus, what the hell happened?"
Dean asked, unable to keep the shock from his voice. He crossed the bathroom in 2 small steps and knelt down by his brother amongst the scatterings of hair on the tiles, trying to gently tug Sam's arms down.
"Don't,"
Sam sobbed, pulling away and trying to curl into a tighter ball.
"You're bleeding,"
Dean pointed out dumbly, eyeing the graze towards the side of Sam's.
Jesus.
Sam's shaved head. The silence dragged as Dean knelt there helplessly, interrupted only by Sam's hitched breaths.
"Sammy, fuck, talk to me, kid, please."
Sam didn't answer, but moved an arm to swipe over his eyes and...
"What the fuck?"
Dean exclaimed, taking matters into his own hands and forcing Sam's head up so he could get a better look at. Yep, that was definitely the beginnings of a spectacular black eye, skin starting to darken, swollen tight. There was some sort of invisible connection between seeing Sam hurt and Dean's adrenaline gland. There must be, because it was pumping before, but now it was freaking racing. "Who the fuck did this?" Dean demanded, still holding Sam's chin, even as the kid tried to hide his face again. "Tell me who the fuck did this. Jesus, what the fuck?" Sam flinched as Dean's palm smacked the tile, bloodshot eyes that held remnants of terror and stark devastation looking up at him.
"I didn't learn the exorcism,"
he whispered finally, voice wrecked. It took Dean a long moment to understand. He almost asked, "Who the fuck cares if you didn't learn a stupid exorcism?" But then it clicked. He knew exactly who cared. He could barely believe it. "Dad did this?" he asked, horrified, eyes moving over the hair scattered on the bathroom tile, the purpling eye and the fuzz left on Sam's head. The kid lost what little composure he'd managed to gain as he followed Dean's gaze, pulling away and dropping his head into his hands.
"He was so angry," Sam sobbed. He hit me and held me down and...
"Hey, shh, it's okay." Dean clasped Sam's shoulders tightly. It wasn't okay, though. He was still reeling from the mental image of his father hurting Sam, holding the kid down. Jesus Christ, what the hell? And Sam's hair.
"It's not okay,"
Sam cried, shoving Dean away so that he landed on his ass on the tiles.
"It's not okay."
His hands went up to cover the stubble on his head, sobbing harder, and Dean felt his shock turn to anger. He pushed himself to his feet and let his rage carry him from the bathroom and down the hallway. He didn't stop to think, and once he'd reached the kitchen, he grabbed the whiskey bottle from the table and flung it at the wall. Glass shattered and crashed to the floor, whiskey dripping down the faded wallpaper and spraying over his boots.
"What the hell?"
John started, furious as he pushed himself to his feet, but Dean didn't give him the chance to continue.
"What the fuck is wrong with you?" he bellowed. "How could you do that to Sam?"
John swayed, planting his hands on the tabletop.
"Still upset, is he?"
"Upset?" Dean scoffed. "Try devastated. Try terrified. He's got a fucking shiner that covers half his face. You fucking hit him, fucking held him down, and cut his hair off. What the fuck is wrong with you?"
At this, John drew himself up to his full height. "He has to learn.
A soldier who can't follow orders is a dead soldier.
He's your son.
He's a liability. None of my punishments stick. Maybe now he'll have some sense."
"Yeah, you sure knocked some sense into him, didn't you, Dad?" Dean spat. "All because he didn't learn one stupid exorcism."
"Don't you dare call it stupid," John warned, voice icy. "That exorcism could save his life one day, could save your life one day. You think I'm going to risk losing you because of teenage rebellion? He needed to be taught a lesson."
"You think that was a lesson?"
Dean shook his head in disgust.
"That's assault, Dad. That's abuse."
John eyed him, almost challenging, but Dean thought he saw a flicker of remorse in his face. Not enough, though.
"You're pathetic,"
Dean spat, then turned sharply and headed for the bed, picked up the duffel that sat by it, and began shoving in clothes.
"What are you doing?"
John demanded, a looming presence behind him.
"What does it look like I'm doing?"
Dean closed his hand around a simple black beanie, then tugged the duffel's zip closed.
"You think I'd stay here? You think I'd let you anywhere near Sam? Jesus, you really are smashed. You have no right.
I have every right, Dean yelled, spinning to face his father. I'm the one who raised him. He's my fucking kid, and I'm taking him far away from you.
He didn't wait for John's reply, simply reached behind him for the duffel and slung it over his shoulder, marching down the hallway. John didn't follow, so maybe he still had some sense. Dean took a breath before entering the bathroom, in a vain attempt to calm himself, but the sight of Sammy still in the same position on the floor worked better. The heat rushed out of him as Sam looked up.
"We going away?"
he asked quietly, eyeing the duffel bag, though he must have heard Dean yelling. Dean swallowed past the lump in his throat.
"Yeah, kid, for as long as you want."
He took the first aid kit from the bathroom cabinet before dropping to his knees before his brother.
"Gotta get you cleaned up first, though, okay?"
He ducked his head to meet Sam's eyes. Sam took a shaky breath and reluctantly lowered his hands from his head. Dean eyed the scrape, assuring himself that it was just that, a scrape, and set about cleaning the drying blood from Sam's scalp with a damp cloth. The bleeding had stopped, he noted grimly. Sam shuddered under his ministrations, breaths hitching. Dean wanted to tell him that it would be okay, but the words got stuck in his throat. He taped gauze over the wound, though it wasn't strictly necessary, hand itching to ruffle Sam's hair and tell him he was all set, like he usually did when he finished patching the kid up. But Sam's hair was carpeting the floor, and Dean felt another rush of anger at his father. Instead, he pulled the beanie he'd grabbed over Sam's head, tucking it over his ears and down the back of his neck, so the evidence of John's drunken anger was hidden. Some of it, at least. The bruising was still darkening on Sam's face. Dean closed his eyes and let his forehead rest against Sam's. Soon he'll get up and lead Sam out of the door. Maybe for forever, if that's what Sam wants. Maybe this night will be the last time he sees his father. He doesn't know. But he does know that this is the last time John will hurt Sam.
Part 3.
Dean,
John's voice said seriously, a mound of guilt and excuses shoved into one word. The voicemail made him sound small and tinny, but there was no hiding the hangover in his tone.
Dean, look, I know things got out of hand last night. I'm sorry. Tell Sam I'm sorry. Just call me back when you get this. Tell me when you're coming home.
Dean knew his father well. He could picture him now, at the same table he sat at last night, head in his hands with his phone tucked between his ear and shoulder, listening as his call went straight to voicemail, knowing that it meant Dean had purposely turned his phone off, turned Sam's phone off too, and hidden it in the depths of his duffel bag. The kid didn't need John's hungover apologies right now, maybe not ever. How could John think that "I'm sorry" would be enough? He barely even sounded regretful, just tired and worn, like this was just one more thing in his already hectic life that he now had to deal with. Dean leaned against the sink, listening to the beep that signaled the end of John's message. That was all. Things got out of hand, and he's sorry. When are they coming home? What home? Dean thought bitterly. The bathroom was filling with steam, the running shower covering the voicemail from Sam, just in case he was listening. Though Dean doubted it, Sam was preoccupied. He sighed, switching the phone off and setting it down next to the sink. He stripped off and climbed into the shower, his excuse for finding a private moment to listen. He wasn't sure if Sam would even notice if he stepped out of the bathroom unshowered, but the hot water did feel good. He did nothing last night that should leave him feeling this drained and stiff. Just yelled and packed and tried to comfort, but last night, he wished he could wash it away, that the hot running water could do something about his drunken father, could fix Sammy's black eye and buzzed hair, or at least give him a clue as to what to do next. What the hell was he going to do next? He shut off the water. He had no idea what they'd do, but Sam didn't need a plan. The kid needed his big brother to be confident. He needed to know that he was going to be looked after. Whatever happened next, Dean could at least do that. He dried off and dressed quickly, breathing in the humid air. It made his chest feel damp and heavy. He wiped the layer of condensation from the screen of his phone and shoved it in his back pocket, where it sat silent and waiting to record any other useless apologies from his father. He exited the bathroom in a billowing gust of steam, something he'd always thought looked cool, but he took no pleasure from it now, barely even noticed it. Sam was where Dean had left him, sitting at the dangerously wobbly table the motel had come equipped with, absently swirling his spoon in the now soggy bowl of cereal Dean had instructed him to eat before he stole away to the bathroom just to hear Dad's voice. His father had always been a source of stability, as much as their lives allowed, and now he was gone. They were alone. Sam was doing far too much thinking for Dean's liking. He could see it in the small crease of the kid's forehead, the faraway look in his eyes. He took a deep breath, preparing to throw himself into the line of fire, just so that Sam wouldn't have to be by himself with his thoughts. They had barely talked last night. Exhausted and stunned, they'd fallen into bed and lain awake in silence for hours, pretending not to know that the other was awake too. "So, how you doing, kid?" Dean asked, finally, dropping into the spare chair on the other side of the table. He rested an elbow on the surface, and the table rocked to the left, a slosh of milk leaping over the side of Sam's bowl. Sam looked up at him without raising his head. His eye had darkened dramatically overnight, swollen fat and a deep purple-red color that reminded Dean of a ripe plum. He was wearing the black beanie that Dean had given him last night, pulled down the back of his neck and over his forehead. He didn't take it off even to go to bed, and an oversized black hoodie that had once been Dean's before he hit his growth spurt. He huddled in it, seeming far smaller than he had any right to seem, and basically looking like the most depressing thing Dean had ever seen. "I'm okay," Sam mumbled, eyes turning back to his cereal. He used a finger to push the spilled bit of milk around on the tabletop, making patterns in it before he wiped it up with his sleeve. "How's your face feel?" This was hard, much harder than their usual post-hunt injury checks, because this wasn't post-hunt. This was post-what-the-fuck-just-happened. Sam kind of shrugged, this half-hearted, one-shouldered thing, like he didn't know or care and couldn't find the energy to figure it out. Dean wondered what John was doing now, if he was sitting at the table at the motel across town, hungover and dejected in the same position as Sam. John, who had never raised more than his voice towards either of them before now, no matter how angry. Dean cleared his throat.
"Did he, are you hurt anywhere else?"
He should have asked last night, but his mind had been blanking on anything other than the possibility of leaving Dad forever. It was so final. He thought Sam was going to shrug again. The kid started to, but then seemed to change his mind and pushed back the sleeves of his hoodie, extending his arms across the table so Dean could see the bruises around his wrists. Gently, Dean picked up one of Sam's hands, then the other, turning them to get a thorough look at the damage. The bruises didn't go all the way round. One wrist only had a smallish mark on the top, but they were dark gray and hideously shaped, like John's fingers, pressed into Sammy's skin.
"I didn't mean to make him so mad," Sam said, eyes on his wrists. His voice still sounded dull, stunned out of emotion.
He looked at his wrists in a way that made Dean think that the kid couldn't quite believe what he was seeing. Dean knew the feeling. He rubbed the back of his neck with one hand, Of course Sammy would take the burden of guilt on himself.
Sam, it wasn't... You didn't do anything to...
He broke off, struggling to find the right words to explain, but he didn't understand himself.
Dad was drunk.
He decided to stick with what he did know.
This isn't your fault. Should've kept my mouth shut,
Sam mumbled, pulling his arms back and tucking his hands into his sleeves.
Should've learnt the exorcism. It was almost like he was talking to himself, refusing eye contact, off in his head trying to figure out how and what and why.
Of course, Dean was thinking along the same track, mainly, what? What was he going to do now? He left with $60 in his pocket, a wallet with a couple fake IDs, and one credit card, their phones, a bag of clothes, and a traumatized kid. What was he meant to do with that?
Sammy.
He shook his head.
Jesus, Sam, this...
He waved a hand vaguely at his brother.
Is not fucking acceptable, no matter what you did. This wasn't you. It was Dad. Mom's anniversary makes him...
It had never made him do this before. Sam nodded anyway, as if he understood. They sat for a moment in silence, aside from the sound of Sam's spoon scraping back and forth against the bottom of his bowl. He hadn't taken a single bite, as far as Dean could tell. Eventually, Sam took a deep breath and let it out in a sigh. He raised a hand as if to brush hair out of his eyes, then stopped and let his hand fall back to his lap. He dropped his spoon into his bowl with a clatter and a soggy squish and pushed it away.
I'm going to have a shower,
he mumbled, pushing himself up in sudden decision.
There's heaps of hot water,
Dean offered.
Like that was something that could make up for all the shitty things that had happened.
Sam didn't offer anything in reply, just rifled through the duffel bag until he found a change of clean clothes, and then disappeared into the bathroom. Dean sat at the table and wished that the running water was loud enough to smother the sound of his kid brother's sobs. After an aimless day of fuzzy motel TV, gas station snacks, and silence, Sam fell asleep, and Dean retreated to the bathroom to check his phone. Tonight's message was so different from this morning's that it was nearly hard to believe that they were both from the same person. John was intoxicated beyond a shadow of a doubt, his voice loud and angry. Dean had expected it, once he'd seen that the call time was marked as 8:15, but it was still a shock to hear his father suddenly roar out of the phone. He sat down on the side of the tub, legs feeling kind of weak as the gravity of everything sunk in a little bit more, as he imagined his father pacing up and down, flailing his arms to emphasize his point to an empty room.
He doesn't understand. This is more important than Halloween parties. This is Mary, my Mary. He doesn't even know her. Dean, you know. You know, Dean. It's dangerous. Sam needs to be prepared. I only ever try to keep you boys safe. Don't I keep you safe? Need to keep you safe. This is the lesson. If he listened, if he trained like he's supposed to, this wouldn't have happened. I didn't want it to happen. Dean, you know.
Dean didn't know. He didn't know what he was supposed to know or what he was going to do, or how he was going to make this better. He just knew that his father was wasted and he couldn't bring Sam back to that. He sighed, pressing the button to delete the message, making a mental note to delete any on Sam's cell too. Tomorrow morning there would probably be another voicemail, another hungover message from a man who would swear he was sorry and promise to do better. But Dean could only trust him as far as his next drink, and that wasn't far enough. The end.